announce where we're going and all that. Okay. Before we actually introduce our brother Roger for the next session, I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and get into our groups. So what you might want to do is before I tell you where to go, kind of gather up your stuff so you can take that with you, because your table might be used by someone else for the group. So on each table, as you've seen, there's a list, and it's got your group numbers and who's in your group. What we're going to do is group number one is going to be at this front table. I've got numbers on the tables. If they're going to be an area where there's going to be a group. Group number one is going to be up here, and we've got chairs. Group number two is going to be in this corner here, and we've got chairs up here. Group three is going to be in the back corner, and on the back tables, three, four, five, just take the chairs that are on the table in front of you and turn them around, and we'll use that for the groups, okay? So group one is right here. The tables are numbered. One, two, three, four, five, there's numbers on the table. So if everybody gets in their groups, once we're settled down, we'll introduce our brother Roger, and he'll give the instructions. Okay, everybody. Everybody settled into their groups. Just real quickly for each group, I'm just going to go through the group leaders, so each group knows who the group leader is. Group number one is Brother Tim Osborne. Group number two, Brother Jed Dillingham. Group number three, Brother Joshua McInturf. Group number four, Brother Mark Drake, and group number five, Brother Matthew Link. So they're the group leaders, and they'll be kind of guiding you what we're trying to get out of the sessions. If you don't have concordances on your tables, there's some scattered around the tables. So I think that's...
There's a few still left in the box over there, too.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody need concordances right now before we start?
There's one at each table, so some of the tables that are empty right now, there's concordances on them already.
Okay, this is the 2010 West Coast School of the Prophets. Our theme for the weekend is the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 with our brother Roger Lewis. This is session number four, and this is a workshop. The workshop is entitled Contextual Reasons Why Ezekiel 37 and 38 Are Not Sequential. Brother Roger.
Well, obviously, our workshop follows on from that preliminary session this morning, and hopefully I've whetted your appetite. I just wanted to mention a couple of things before you start. The first thing is that just from a timetabling point of view, I think our midday meal is at 12 noon, exactly at midday, in which case, in order to close in time, because we always have our prayer for the meals here in the room, when would you like to close before we go up? Is quarter two satisfactory? So I think if we close, aim to close at 11:45, which gives us time for a prayer together to both close the morning and give thanks for the meal just before we move up. So therefore we've got a little under 2 hours left. So quarter to 10, quarter to 11, quarter to 12, but we're just a bit, little bit after quarter two. So we've got 2 hours, a little bit less. But we need, I think, about 30 or 40 minutes to put the results back up on the board. So what that means is that we should be looking to stop this particular group at, say, about 11:05. So therefore, if it's 5:10 and we're finishing at 11:05, you've got, what, an hour and a quarter, hour and 10, hour and a quarter to actually do this group work. Now, although the title has been announced as Why These Chapters Are Not Sequential, that sort of sounds a bit negative, really, doesn't it? I think that what we should do with the focus of this, we will prove that, by the way, but I think the best way to go about proving it is to start in your respective groups to searching for thematic ideas. And what we hope to do at the end is to put up a big chart that has at the top of every one of the chapters, right through from 33, if you like. I think we did this as 33 to 39 in New Zealand when we did this. And then we look down the side for all the themes that start to emerge across that chapter and we build a grid. And that becomes a really interesting exercise in itself because you suddenly realise there's lots of themes, lots of different themes emerging here. And I think we get to the really to the heart and soul of those chapters by engaging in that process. Now, of course, in the course of investigating all of those themes, we will probably also prove to ourselves satisfactorily that it's not sequential. But that will be incidental to our major objective, which is to study the chapters in their own right to see the major themes that emerge. What we probably ought to do in each group is not only have a group leader, which we do, but a scribe for the group. So if the group likes to appoint a scribe when you start, and I recommend that you use a mind map method, get a good big piece of paper out, as big a piece of blank paper as you can find, so that you can start to mind map out themes that emerge in these chapters, and then how they turn up in respective chapters, or a grid if you like, because I think we'll probably put it in a grid form at the end. So that's the charge for the groups. Enjoy your morning together on these chapters. Those that are not here at the School of the Prophets, but maybe listening to this tape later on, this is a good time for you to actually switch off the session and do the same thing, is to actually investigate these chapters so that when we come to the consideration of the results of the group at the end, you might be able to feel that you've participated in this investigation. All right, so we're going to bring the meeting back to order and we'll start the process of investigating what we've discovered in these chapters, bearing in mind that the objective was not so much to necessarily disprove sequential as to prove thematic. So let's start by going around the groups, and we'll start to pick up what's what we've discovered. First of all, can I just ask a question? So did every group find some thematic subjects that flow through several chapters? Everyone okay with that? How far back did you go in your thematic study, group one?
Chapter
33. You got back to 33. Group two? You got some things that flow back to 33. Group three? 34 onwards. Group four? 33, group 5. 36 to 39. Stuck to the knitting. Well, I think what I might do is, to be fair to all those groups, we'll put up those bigger numbers. So if we just go down here, and we might need to do this two times, I'm not sure, and what we're hoping to do is to find someone who's got sufficient technology to take a photo of this at some stage. So we've got 33... how are we going to go here? How many do we need? 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 7. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that 7? 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39. Well, now looky here. So what we'll do is we'll just sort of create a little grid here. We're dropping lines down on the vertical to create a column for each of those chapters. And then coming across on the horizontal line, we'll start picking up some of the key themes that groups discovered so that we can plot them on the grid. So, okay. So would someone like to start with a key theme that they discovered? Shall we do this in order? Yep.
The shame of the heathen.
The shame of the heathen. Okay. So the shame of the heathen. Let me just put this up here. The shame of the heathen. Now, before I go any further, did any other group discover that as a theme?
We had judgment of heathen, and the heathen shall know.
Okay, but not the shame. Is that a separate theme as far as you're concerned?
In terms of my people bearing the shame of the heathen.
Yeah. My people bearing the shame of the heathen. Now, that's a different thing again. That's not the shame of the heathen. So when you say my people bearing the shame of the heathen, is that Israel bearing the shame?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's not the shame of the heathen.
Yeah, it says they bear the shame of the heathen. They will no longer bear the shame of the heathen.
Right, I'm just saying we need to be clear on what the theme is, that's all. So I'm not saying that phrase isn't right, but is it Israel bearing the shame or the heathen bearing the shame?
Israel
bearing the shame of the heathen. Okay, hands up anyone else that discovered that as a theme or felt that was a theme. Okay, all right, okay. In fact, let me go back one step. Despite that comment, Andrew, if I just put that on, can I put that on hold for a minute?
Sure.
Let me restart this. What I'm going to ask each group to do is to give me what you thought was one of the major themes that you discovered. What was the most dominant theme in your consideration that you felt that you came across? And we'll just keep going around the group. So I think if we start with the main ones first, because there's so many of them, we might say, well, there are some here, but they're subsets. So, and if that turns out to be one of the main ones, then that's great. So let's take the scribe from group one, who's our rogue river man, all the way down from Oregon to feel the bite of winter in California. Okay.
The sanctification of Yahweh, that his name might be known,
Okay, so how will we describe, any other describers for that?
Yes. Glorification of God's name.
Glorification of God's name. Any other groups?
Holiness and cleansing.
Sort of.
Sanctification.
So, but it's to do with the divine name, is it?
No.
Sorry? So it's to do with Yahweh's name. Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do here is give you an alternative to that, see if you're happy with it. The vindication of Yahweh's name. Are you happy with that? Okay. So whereabouts does that occur on your grid?
Verse 35:15.
Where else?
36:11.
Yep. Yep.
Chapter 37:28.
Yep.
Chapter 38:23.
Yep.
Chapter 39:6-7, verse 22, and verse 20.
Okay, so not in 33 or 34. Or you didn't do 33 or 34. Did anyone discover that as a theme in those earlier chapters at all? Okay. Right. Okay, so that's a theme. The vindication of Yahweh's name. certainly from 35 onwards, appears to be a consistent theme. Yep.
You have a few more verses that we lumped in there as well.
Yes.
36, verse 32.
Okay, let me have a look. 36, 32. Yeah. Okay.
And in 37, we also have verses 6 and verse 14.
Yep.
And 38, we had 16, 23, and 38. Which one of those there? 16, 23,
and 38. Okay. Okay, so 16, 23. 38 sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it? But
yeah, ignore that one.
Yeah.
39
at verse 13 as well. Okay. You know, I would probably go so far as to say that I wonder whether that's actually the key theme of the whole series of prophecies. In fact, just coming back, if I just have a look here.
You can add 34:30, 34:30, 29, and 33.
Yeah, it's definitely 34:30. It's probably 34:27 as well. So 34:27 and 30. And you might find one back in chapter 33, who knows?
Verse 33 is verses 29 and 33.
All right, so 29, 33 is 29.
Absolutely correct. And. Oh, I'm not 33.
No, 29. 29 is good. So I would suggest that that's quite possibly the key theme of the whole series. That finally it's all about the exaltation and the vindication of Yahweh's name and purpose in all the events of these chapters. Now, the primary theme is about the restoration of Israel, isn't it? These are the restoration prophecies, which is why we could go from 33 onwards. But the restoration of Israel is incidental to the advancing of Yahweh's purpose. It's part of the blue line at the time of the end. Israel are going to be grafted back into their own olive tree. So they're going to be rejoined to the blue line community, as it were. For the last epoch of time, is it not true that Israel's been cast off? Isn't that what Romans 11 says? Paul says the natural seed's been cast off. The branches have been broken off because of unbelief. But they can and will be regrafted back into their own olive tree. And so these are the chapters that are really about that epoch of time when Israel rejoins the blue line of the seed of the woman community in being purged and converted. But all of that is so that Yahweh's own name and purpose can be exalted. Because after all, isn't the divine name about his manifestation in a multitude? And Israel is going to form part of that multitude. So it's all connected. So yes, I think that's a very, very key theme. So good start from group one. Group two, if you were to choose your next theme that you thought was perhaps one of the ones that seemed to flow through the most of the chapters, with the most detail, what would you have suggested?
So as a precursor to that one, we have the current spiritual state of Israel.
The current spiritual state?
Yeah, so
yep.
Ezekiel was making the prophecy. So we look mainly at chapters 36 to 39. I'm sure it comes up in the previous three chapters.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So what did you get with regard to that then?
We had 36 verse 3.
Okay, so let me just, let's have a look at this and we'll see if we can have a word here. So, 36 verse 3. Yep, carry on.
Then we skip to 37, and there's really a lot in 37. I mean, we have verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11, and 12. So basically, you know, the dry bones prophecy is all about the current state of Israel. And then in...
Right.
Chapter 38, we had verses 8 and 12.
Yeah.
And then in 39, we had verse 26.
Yeah. Okay, now, let me put that on hold. I'm going to be brutal here. So I'm going to say, I wouldn't have seen those verses as particularly connected as a theme. In other words, if I read 36 verse 3, it's because they've made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side. But that doesn't seem to be anything related to 38 verse 8, that thou shalt be brought back after many, brought back from the land that's brought back from the sword, gathered out of many people. The language and terminology doesn't sound at all similar.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when we say thematic, I guess, and maybe this was something I should have made clear at the beginning, but to me a theme is when you see, it could be just the same idea in utterly different language, but that would have to be very convincing that there was a clear, decisive theme. But to me, if I put those verses together, I wouldn't see any particular connection with them, because even when you say it's to do with the current state of Israel, it's a pretty mixed bag, isn't it? You've got, they've been swallowed up, they're dry bones, they're back in the land, they're gathered out of the sword, they're gathered back from the sea, they're on the mountains of Israel. Is that a theme? Is that crisp enough for you to say that that's a theme? I might be wrong, so keep talking.
I think the way we tried to pull that together was to show that throughout all those chapters, there is at least in some point a reference to the fact that Israel was a nation, but it was not accepting God as their leader.
Ah, okay. And now, so extend that a bit further.
In chapter 36, they're taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. They're desolate. Chapter 37 is the dry bones, where they say in verse 11, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Chapter 38, they're back in the land, but they're not at the point where they recognize Yahweh as their God and as their Savior yet, which we learn when we come to chapter 39, verse 26. It says, after they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt in their land and none made them afraid. So though they were a nation dwelling in the land and none made them afraid, they were still bearing their shame and trespassing against him, because they hadn't accepted him as their God and their Savior yet. It was only after the Gogian controversy that changed. So we looked at it that if in all these chapters there seems to be reference to their unacceptance of God and yet their position as a nation, then how can that be chronological? If at one point they're supposed to have accepted him and know that he is Yahweh, and yet the next chapter they're portrayed as being desolate and without hope again.
Would you accept that as a title for that? Israel and Unbelief?
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, we felt that there needed to be a reason for God to vindicate his name. And
right.
It would be based on Israel's.
Okay. All right, so let's take that then as an idea. And maybe that's the key that links those passages together. Otherwise, they do sound a bit disparate, don't they? That doesn't seem to be any clear theme. But if that's the overriding idea, we'll put that down. So 36 verse 3, was it?
Yep, 36 verse 3. 37. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11, 12. 1 to 5, 11 to 12.
38 verse
8 and 12.
Sorry, what am I doing here? 38 verses 8 and 12.
Yeah,
39
verse 26.
Okay, 39 verse 26. Okay. I'd be feeling a little bit uncertain about that, only in as much as, for example, 38 verse 8 and 12 don't actually imply any unbelief of the nation. It's not expressly said, is it? For that matter, neither does 37 necessarily say that, or even 36, although it's true that they're the talk of people. But anyway, so let's put it down. We've got it down.
So you don't think that 37 is clear with the unbelief?
I accept that there's a prophecy of dry bones. I'm not sure where you'd get from that Israel doesn't believe in Yahweh their God.
So like in verse 11, for example, our hope is lost?
I accept verse 11. Yeah, maybe verses 1 to 5, I'd be thinking those verses wouldn't be clear to me as teaching that. So
okay.
So I'm being rigorous here.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Because, in fact, if we had a choice of all the themes we could, we might say maybe that's not a decisively clear theme that emerges from these chapters with absolute clarity. You've got to work hard to establish how that worked. And I'm not sure that all of those verses would, in fact, support the idea. So I wouldn't say they are evidence of unbelief. They're evidence that they're back in the land, but I can't think you can prove from those that they don't believe. This one you can. That's connected. Yes, Tim?
One of the ones we looked at was the cleansing of Israel.
Right. So this is another theme.
So I asked my question, should that go with that or a separate one?
Okay, let's put that on hold because I'll leave a little bit of space in case we decide to add that. So so that may be part of the connection. So unbelief and cleansing. Okay, group three. What's your... Can you give us your dominant, your best theme?
The pouring of the Spirit. Be walking in ways. The pouring of the Spirit?
Yes.
And Ezekiel 36:27, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them.
Okay, so Ezekiel 36, verse 27, this is to do...
Pouring out the Spirit?
Yeah. Okay. Bestowal of the Spirit, I'll call it that. Hang on, I was supposed to leave a space, wasn't I? Whoops. Okay. Okay, so bestowal of the Spirit. And you're saying it's in 30, what was that, Manny?
36, verse 27.
Yep.
27.
Yep.
Also 37 and 14.
37 and 14. Yep.
Chapter 39, verse 7.
Chapter 39, verse...
7.
Twenty-nine's good.
29.
Should we take 29?
29.
We'll be ruthless and take 29 because that clearly mentions that. So, okay, so that's like a sub-theme, and maybe that's connected as well. So there is a coming of the pouring out of God's Spirit upon the nation as part of their restoration. Anyone else got any other advance on that in terms of... Ah, 36, it's in 26 as well. Okay, let me have a look at that. Great. Okay, so it's in 26 and 27. Okay. Okay, so group four.
I think along the lines of these two themes or two sub-themes that have
yes.
come out.
Yep.
We had sort of a larger theme, which I think links them together around this restoration of Israel. And we subdivided it into the regathering, the physical regathering of Israel, and then the regeneration, you know, replacing the heart of stone with the heart of flesh.
Okay, so let's start with the first one then. So you've got physical regathering. Yeah.
The state of Israel, they needed to be
yep.
restored. Right?
Yep, so as we build this, we may come back and say, wasn't that a great theme that Group 2 had? Absolutely locked it all together at the end. It was the key to the whole thing after all. So we rest in hope, Group 2. So okay, let's do the physical regathering then. So what passage have you got for that?
We had 34, verse 13.
Okay, let me just have a look. 34, 13. Yep. Okay.
And then we jump straight to 36, and we have verses 12 and 24.
12 and 24, yeah.
And then in 37, we had 11, verse 11, and then verses 21 through 22.
Yep.
Again in 38, which I want to make sure wasn't a mistype, because I have again 21 through 22. That looks like I wrote it twice, so don't record 38.
38 is 8:12.
It'll be 8:12. You'd take 8:12, wouldn't you? But they're the regathering verses.
Okay.
Yep. And 39?
27 through 28.
27 through 28. Okay, so that's a clear idea of the physical regathering of the nation. And that was one of the ones we mentioned earlier on in my series, wasn't it? Is that this obviously isn't happening on several different occasions. It's a thematic consideration in these chapters. Now, then you had a second line that goes with that is the
regeneration.
Shall I call that the moral regeneration?
Yes.
So if we've got the physical regathering and the moral regeneration as a necessary counterpart to that.
Would moral regeneration go with cleansing, sanctification?
Yeah. I think it's really linked with this "my spirit upon the house of Israel" theme as well. Yeah. I mean, that's how they are regenerated, is God pours his spirit upon them. Because a lot of the verses
okay.
are the same between the two themes.
All right, so what did you have for that? What verses did you have for that?
We had 36 verses 25 through 29.
36, which is 25 through 29. So these are the two verses about the Spirit, 26 and 27, but adding the clean water of 25. Mm-hmm. Saving out of uncleanness, verse 29. So 20, what was it?
21 and
23. 21, no. What was the other one you suggested? 23. Yes, but I'm thinking that these other ones are much tighter and crisper. Yes. So one of the things when you're dealing with thematic studies is you do need to be focused, because if you have themes that are so general and vague, well, you could have said many things about those verses and they're all possible themes, and yet somehow that's not convincing as a thematic study either. When you say something thematic, you should be able to read the verse and say, yes, I can see that, boof, just like that. Now, those verses, 25, clean water sprinkled upon you, you shall be clean. A new heart, verse 26, a new spirit, my spirit upon you, in verse 27, so that you now walk in my statutes. Verse 28, I'll save you. Verse 29, save you from all your uncleanness. Those are the verses of moral regeneration. Absolutely clear as crystal. I can accept that. But when you say, well, God will sanctify himself in them, well, yes, but that could be moral generation, but it could be that he vindicated them by means of saving them out of the hand of the enemy, or it could be in a dozen different ways God could sanctify himself. So be demanding on yourself when you do thematic studies that it must say exactly what you've said, and then it's convincing. So I think those verses are excellent, which was 36 verses. Now, what was it now? 25 to 29. All right, so that's great. Yep. What else you got for that one?
Verse 23 and
14
of
37. So 37, you've got 23 and 14. Was that right?
Yes.
Is that a deliberate order?
No.
It's okay to take it the other way?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, so...
just the order we came up with.
All right, so 14... and 23, and we've got the word they won't defile themselves anymore, they'll be saved, no more sin, they'll be cleansed. So those are all terms of moral regeneration. So yep, 14 and what's the verse again?
23.
14 and 23 it is. Okay, from there on, where did you get from there?
39,
we have verse 29. 39. Is this not the exact same as the stolen spirit?
Yeah. Well, there was some overlap there. That's why we had them separated, but we ended up putting the same verses for both.
Yeah.
Because we had them both. We had my spirit upon the house of Israel.
That's okay. That's okay, because I think what we'll do is amalgamate those two, you see. So you've got just 29.
Yes.
Okay, slow down. So you got verse 12. Yeah, that's cleansed the land. I wouldn't take that as moral regeneration of the nation. What was your next verse?
14,
cleanse the land. Carry on.
That might be what 16
is. Yep.
Everything.
Yep, so... I I think I'd take 29 and leave it at that, in which case what we might do here is moral regeneration of Israel by God's Spirit. Happy with that? And as a result of that, we can now take out this line here, the bestowal of the Spirit, because we've amalgamated that with that other one, which in fact is excellent. Now, that was your one, Manny, wasn't it?
Yes.
So what we've done is taken yours and, in fact, expanded it, which I think your group would have had anyway, expanded it into why is the Spirit being bestowed? It's in the context of the moral regeneration of the nation. So that now is a really good theme, which I think locks those together.
Is there any way to link moral regeneration with Israel and unbelief and make that a broader theme around...
You got some supporters here. Hey, hang on, I see a Styles in both these groups. What's going on here? What I'm going to suggest that we do at the end of this is you may want to, if I was looking at this, I'd put all this up exactly like you, by the way, if I was doing this at home. And then having got to the end of the story, I might actually sequence this itself and say, if I was to put these themes into order of importance, how would I rank these? And I might then, in fact, rewrite the chart into a particular series that I thought laid out those themes in the most sensible way, without them being sequential, of course. Jed, were you about to lift your hand and make a bid?
Just that you erased the verse that you should have
done. Verse 13 in chapter 34,
for the physical regeneration or regathering of Israel, you erased 34, verse 13.
Which 34, 13?
Yeah.
Did I inadvertently stop their regathering? Okay. Good.
So just one last comment.
Yes. Yes. Well, in that particular case, you're absolutely right. Because the one is the necessary precursor of the other, isn't it? And isn't this Brother Thomas? Israel returns in unbelief of the Messiahship as it is in Jesus. And it's not till Christ comes that this work of regenerating the nation occurs, which is why the sequential idea of having the nation morally regenerated in chapter 36, but the king not arriving until chapter 37 brings its own unique set of difficulties. So I think we got to, have we got to chapter, no, group 5, is that right?
Yeah, I think group, we finished on our, yeah.
Group 5, so a dominant theme from group 5. Give us your best one.
Best one.
We want the best.
That's tough. We have two that are best.
We want two of the best. The heathen shall know, yes? Okay, so whatever this set of prophecies is about, it might be about Yahweh's people Israel and his work with them, but it's of international significance that the heathen know. Good, all right, so we'll take that. So is that it, that the heathen may know?
Yeah.
Okay, that the heathen may know. Right, let me put that down.
Is that justifiably different than the vindication of Yahweh's name?
I don't know, is it?
I think a lot of the verses, we'll see what the verses
are.
Yeah.
So we start at 36.
Yep.
We have 3, 4, 23, and 36.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting. Let's just have a look at this. So let's read this together. So 36, you had 3.
Well, 3 isn't.
No, so let's delete 3.
Yeah.
Give me another one.
4.
4.
No.
No. Is this your best theme, is it? Calling San Francisco.
23, yes.
23, okay. 23. Yeah, I'm happy with that one. Yep. Now we finally got to one that's standalone as a separate theme. Yep.
So we had 37, 28, which I think is up there already. Yep.
Yep.
And 38,
What was that one that you just mentioned that we didn't have on the board?
36.
Why don't we add that to here?
Let me give you our other song, our other best theme.
Oh, yes, that's. I think we're all ears. Yeah. Yeah, we'd like to hear that. Yep. Does it start with the words that, the?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Righto.
The mountains of Israel.
The mountains of Israel.
Yeah. Might want to add 21 to 39 on that top one. We'll put
now, you
one.
Might. Sorry, what was that?
Might want to add, seeing that we're amalgamating their first
yep.
best one. 21
to 39. 39 verse 21?
Yeah.
I'll
set my glory among the heathen.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Great. Yes, Matt?
What about the covenants of the promises and the various covenants? Israel as a nation being a people that would never be destroyed. They're coming back to the land as a physical people. There's a physical land of Israel. You have the Davidic covenant, it speaks of David and the kingdom being spoken of throughout some of these chapters.
Right.
Multiplying the seed, there's that theme that kind of goes about that they would come back into that physical land, they're multiplied as a people, so it goes to the Abrahamic covenant. There's specific reference to the Davidic covenant, spoken about David, the king sitting on the throne.
So covenant allusions, if you like, or covenant themes. Okay.
I don't know if the heathen comes into that. The heathen shall know God, whether he comes into that as far as all nations of the earth shall be eventually blessed, that the heathen will get to recognize who God is.
Well, I'm not saying that it's not there, but again, you'd need to work hard at it, wouldn't you? Because when you start to do that, you'd want those verses to be so decisively clear that you could say this is a satisfactory theme that's emerged. Now, before you do that, we actually interrupted Ben, who was going to give us out his second but best shot.
We saw a lot of shepherds and flocks.
Yep, I'll take that in a minute. So, but you were going to give us mountains, Ben, is that right?
Yeah.
The mountains of Israel.
Not sure of the theme of it, but there's some sort of metaphor in who the mountains of Israel are. It's mentioned quite a few times.
All right, so give us the mountains of Israel.
36, 1, prophesying unto the mountains of Israel. Four, hear, O mountains of Israel. Six is say unto the mountains of Israel. Eight is O mountains of Israel, shoot forth your branches.
Yep. All right, so just give me those verses again out of 36.
1, 4, 6, and 8.
Okay, one, it's actually a whole section there, by the way.
Yeah.
1, 4, 6, and 8. It's a prophecy to the mountains of Israel. Okay, so that's in chapter 36. Okay, that's fine.
And then 37 is in 22.
37 is in 22.
I will make them one nation, a land upon the mountain of Israel.
Okay, I accept that.
38.
Yep.
Verse 8.
Yep.
Gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel.
Yep.
38:20.
Yep.
And 21.
Yep.
And then 39, 2, 4, and 17.
Okay. And let's try any others?
Yeah. I noticed that too, and it starts back in chapter 33 at verse 28.
Correct.
And then also 34:13.
Yep.
34:14.
That's right. 34:13 and 14.
Yeah.
And 35.
12. And then 36:1.
Did you
get that one?
Yep. So that theme, in fact, runs right. That was a pretty. Now that was a good recovery from the House of Dondero, wasn't it? Okay. We got a theme that ran right through the whole lot. Okay. They did this other stuff just to you know, soften us up. So the mountains of Israel is clearly a theme, and you'd want to work that one through. Now, coming back to group one, we had a Brinkerhoff idea about shepherds and shepherding.
Shepherds and flocks.
Shepherds and flocks, okay. Are they one theme or two?
Well,
let's put it all down as one.
Shepherds generally need a flock, so that's a pretty lousy shepherd.
Okay, so shepherd and flock.
And beasts of the field. We have the verses for that at 34, verse 12.
34, 12.
As shepherd seeks his flocks. Verse 15. But I myself will be their shepherd.
Yep.
Verse 17. As for you, my flock.
Yep.
Verse 23, and there's set up one shepherd
to yep.
feed them. And verse 31, and you are my sheep.
Right.
And on to chapter 36 is verses 37, 38. And chapter 37 is verse 24.
Yep, said it. Okay, I accept those. They're good. Yes.
If we're adding themes, another one that was really...
if we're adding themes. Yeah, we could add some themes. Yeah. Yep. How about a theme? You got a theme?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Eternal salvation, or this idea of the permanence of the restoration. You get a lot of nevermores, or this won't nevermore.
Yep.
Yep. So we kind of have that eternal nature. Of
the permanent nature of what's accomplished. How would we summarize that? How about we look at the verses and then we'll decide what to call it at the end.
The verses start in chapter 34.
Yes.
At verse 28-29.
Right, so that's the no more be, no more consumed, neither be ashamed anymore, right? Right, I'm going to put this up here in this splendid gap just here. So we've got 34, sorry, it was 20...
28 and
29. 28
and 29,
yep.
35 verse 9 now is about an eternal destruction. The idea of the permanence of what God acts out on Mount Seir and the children of Edom.
Okay, all right. Yep.
Chapter 36, verses 14 through 15.
36... 14, 15, that the mountains won't devour. 14 and 15, yeah.
And then chapter 37, we have verses 25 and 26, and again at 28.
25.
Even more.
26. 28. So we could go 25 to 28, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 28, 29.
22 and 28, 29. Okay, so 39, 22, and 28, 29. All right, are there any such references in 38? Couldn't find any. Okay, but that's quite a pervasive theme, isn't it? So what would we call that, do you think? Sounds very... See me? Oh, sorry, Jason.
I don't know though if we can say that it proves that, because the forever is for the
Well, Jason's right. The evermore here is for the old lamb, which is the kingdom age, but 1,000 years is reasonably permanent, I guess, is what they're saying. Is
I
that
think so. But if you're arguing with somebody, it could just be for a specific amount of time.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
if you have 1,000 years, you can say that everything goes back to
a state. No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you're saying like that they're brought back forevermore, and then it's for a specific period of time, that they can just say, yeah, well, it's for a period of time, and then... So I agree. I just don't think that we should say permanence.
Okay. I think the point here is that we've got a contrast, haven't we? On the one side, you've got some phrases that say that these things won't happen anymore, and these things will be established forevermore. And both of those, in their totality, do describe the fact that what God is going to do here is, it is permanent. In this respect, that whilst you could argue it only lasts for the kingdom, it's unlikely to be reversed beyond that either, because beyond that there are other things that the Father intends to do, but none of this is going to revert. So even if the word evermore only has a 1,000-year limitation on it, it's something which once done is unlikely to be changed. Oh, sorry, didn't notice the time.
No. Well, that's the promise to David, right? He would bring them back into the land.
Yes.
And they would never be...
Okay, so what's the what would we say this? About this? Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yahweh's everlasting purpose.
With Israel or something. Well, one of these is here. Well, how do we just take 35 and 9 and take it out of that category? And then we have. It was an interesting question.
Yeah. Now, would you like to hear what the New Zealand School of the Prophets got? If I just run through these as the themes. So this is back in 2009. Themes we got were that the overall theme was they shall know that I am Yahweh. That was the key theme. So I think we got to basically the same by putting that at the top. And that was found, in fact, in every single chapter, which is exactly what we've got there. Same verses pretty much. And that whether it was in the destruction of God's enemies or the restoration of God's people, that all of that was the vindication of Yahweh's name. We got gathered out of the nations. Physical regathering, that'd be the same, wouldn't it? We got all the house of Israel as a key theme in verse in chapter 34, 36, 37, and 39. So maybe you missed that, the phrase the house of Israel. Do you have the house of Israel? Excellent. That was your third best one. We just never got to it. For the benefit of Washington, D.C., we got covenant in 34:25, 36:26, 37:26, 39, 17 to 21 and 29. So there was a covenant theme that definitely emerged, but I perhaps wouldn't have expanded that into multiple covenants, but certainly a covenant theme. One shepherd, David, and Israel, the flock. The mountains of Israel. The rain being outpoured, but expressive of the Spirit, chapter 34, chapter 37, chapter 39. So we picked that up via Los Angeles and wove that into the idea of the moral regeneration of Israel by the Spirit. The word pray, no more a prey, in 34, 36, and 38. None shall make them afraid in 34 and 39. Fall by the sword in 27, in 33 and 39. Wild beasts in 33 and 39. The mountains of Israel, we got the lot. My holy name. Emphasis on Israel's sin in chapters 33, chapter 37, chapter 39. Not bear shame anymore. Well, looky here. Chapter 34 and chapter 36. God's name profaned amongst the Gentiles, chapter 35 and chapter 36. God sanctified, 36, 37, 38, 39. And so I think that looking at those, that we've come to a pretty reasonably similar set of themes, which is nice to know, isn't it? That you can have brethren from different parts of the world, but sit down and look at the same chapters. If we're reading carefully and with attention, it's not surprising we would have come to pretty much the same collection of themes. So would you say these chapters are thematic or sequential? Answer, I think we'd be convinced that they are thematically constructed, that's the way the Spirit put these together. They are a compound of themes, and that you would never expect to treat that as a sequential set of events. That doesn't seem to be the construction of the passages. All right, so that's proved its purpose, and yet in the course of doing that, we've discovered some other valuable things which now would make some very good Bible marking and some thematic study in those particular passages. Yes, one more question.
We happen to notice the term saith the Lord God was 172 times.
In those chapters. Oh, in Ezekiel as a whole.
But in those chapters, it was 48 times that it occurs.
So what was the total number?
172. In the whole book of Ezekiel.
And 48 in these. So that's quite a dominant title or quite a dominant phrase, isn't it? That's a very dominant phrase then. If that number's focused on just these handful of chapters, that's interesting, isn't it? So is it almost as if God says, this is the moment when I intervene. So this is what God
there's
says.
There's no other book in the Bible, because I compared it, there's no.
Yep.
That doesn't even come close to it.
Yep. Good point.
Yeah, we picked that up as well, like a more broad theme of that it's divinely ordained and divinely executed. So you have thus saith the Lord. Then he also talks about his face in a few different references. And then he talks about his hand in maybe six or seven other references, and all those put together show that God's the one that's going to initiate, catalyze, and finish the process.
Exactly, yeah. So that's clearly a dominating theme. All of this is of God. And so this is a wonderful thing, really, is this is God's intervention in the affairs of mankind. This is really the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. Only when God intervenes will this controversy start to be brought to an end. And that's what Ezekiel 38 is set in the context of. We've run over time, so I think we need to close at that point. Thank you for those excellent contributions. And that's really good workshop stuff. Just as well you got yourself into sort of gear and running, because this afternoon's workshop was even more brutal, but even more interesting. So thank you for those contributions, and enjoy your midday meal.